All right, our reading will be taken from Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse number 14. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "When Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying in a bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she got up and began to serve him." Amen. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by both hands, look your neighbor square in the eye, grab your neighbor by both hands, they ain't gonna bite you. Grab them by both hands. We want them to get this message. Grab them by both hands. Amen. Look them square in the eye. And say, neighbor, I serve because I'm faithful. Neighbor, I serve because I'm thankful. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We have entitled our message this morning, "I serve because I'm thankful." You know, we know coming up this coming Thursday, it's Thanksgiving, excuse me. And as we know it's Thanksgiving, there are certain foods we're looking for on Thanksgiving. Some of us done stepped our games up. We don't put the turkey in the oven no more. We fry. We have that ham. We have that pot roast. Some of us, you know, find a way to throw that pork shoulder in there. Now, we're going to have them greens, collard, kale, or turnip. We're going to have our macaroni and cheese. Not that you cook it on a pot on the stove, but that stuff you put in the oven. And after you cook it on the top, got that little crust on it. With our tater salad, our casseroles, our homemade rolls, cornbread stuffing, and an assortment of desserts. And when we sit at that table, we smell all that food, and we are thankful.
Thankful, amen.
You know, but there's something else. We as Christians should understand that Thanksgiving is more than the food we eat. Well, you know, a lot of folks like to say Thanksgiving is more than a turkey. We recognize that the whole purpose of us coming, and the reason why it was put on our calendar once a year, is for us as a country to recognize that we have a lot to be thankful for. You know, I know the reality is most of us, our ancestors, when they came over, they wasn't coming over on the Santa Maria and all them other ships. And whatever ships they came on, they was on the bottom and they were in chains. And when we came, we recognized that, yes, we were enslaved. But we ain't slaves no more. So we have a whole lot to be. You see, but the one thing I want us to get from this scripture, it is not a whole lot in it on the surface, or it appears. But what we're going to do, Mother Austin, is we're going to dissect these two itty-bitty verses, which doesn't seem to have a lot of information. But what I want you to understand, y'all, is there's a whole lot of meat on this bone. We're going to stay with the food theme. A whole lot of meat on this bone. And whenever you cook a good piece of meat, it makes its own gravy. Can we go and look at it now? Well, let's look at this first segment. This first segment we got to look at. It says, when Jesus entered Peter's house. I got to stop right there. It said, when Jesus entered Peter's house. I want you to understand something. If Peter didn't have a relationship with Jesus, then Jesus never would have been at Peter's house. Don't you know it all starts with our relationship with Jesus? wanted Jesus to come to the house. Because Peter himself had a relationship with Jesus. So don't you know everybody up in here that has a relationship with Jesus? Don't you know when you go home, you know who ought to be going home with you? Because if you want something to change in your house, who do you need to take home with you? If you love him, he's the head of your life. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the wheel inside of the wheel. He is our all in all. He is the good shepherd. So wherever I go, I want Jesus to go. So Lord knows when I got home, when I go home, I want Jesus to go. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you want stuff to change? Take Jesus home. So here we're seeing that it all started because Peter took Jesus home with him. Amen? And then as we go on further, what we see is that when Jesus came into the house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in the bed with a what? Fever. Now, that to us today, that might not seem like a bigger deal. Because, you know, when you get sick, you run a little fever, pop a couple of pills, medical pills I'm talking about, to help the fever subside. That's right, I'm going to make it plain. I don't want you to be popping any kind of pill. So, but we have to understand that the medications we have today did not exist at this time. And I want you to know in Capernaum, in the area that they were in, that area was well known to have cases of mosquitoes with malaria. And if a mosquito that had malaria bit you, then you had malaria. And malaria could lead to death. And one of the things that would occur when you had malaria, Reverend Rose, is you would get a high fever. All right. And the thing is, and we know like if a fever run too high for too long, it'll kill you. Okay. You see, so what has happened is that we're seeing something, and we got to get this. And I want us not to forget this point, because I said something to you earlier about this. But check this out. Peter didn't bring Jesus to his house to heal his mother-in-law. His mother-in-law didn't ask Jesus to heal her. But what we see happen is that Jesus came. Jesus identified the need. And then Jesus did something. What we have to understand as we look at this story, what we have to recognize is that the mother-in-law probably felt that she had something which was incurable. She probably was laying there with the expectation of knowing that she's about ready to die. And because of her situation being so bleak and being in the way that it was, so her expectation was that I'm going to just ride it out because I ain't going to be here much longer. But Jesus saw the need. And the need he saw, it motivated him to do something. You see, and you know what the scripture doesn't also say? It doesn't say that Peter pointed his mother-in-law, well, Jesus, there, my mother-in-law over there, she got a fever. Scripture doesn't say that. It says Jesus saw her and saw that she had a fever. Which means is this, y'all. Whenever we're in the presence of Jesus, he knows our needs. Are you hearing what I'm saying? As we're here in church today, the Lord already knows our needs. He knows what we are going through. He knows what we are dealing with. He knows what you left this morning. He knows what you've got to go back home this afternoon. But still through all that, my brothers and my sisters, when you know that you serve a God who loves you and will watch over you and will keep you, that's why since we are the people of God, there's no way we can ever come in God's house and act like it ain't no big thing. We should never come to God's house and be quiet. We should never come to God's house without some praise. We should never come to God's house without coming with the understanding, I know I'm going one way, but I'm gonna leave a better way. But I'm gonna make it my business while I'm there to worship and praise His holy name. Because when praises go up, but we have to see this. Peter brought him home. Jesus saw the mother-in-law was sick. And then Jesus does something. In beginning of verse 15, he says he touched their hand. And the fever left her. Jesus touched her hand. And the fever what? Now the one thing, again, I'll reiterate. Peter didn't ask him to do it. The mother-in-law didn't ask him to do it. But Jesus saw the... You see, and I want you to understand that whenever our needs around Jesus, whenever you come to church, I don't care what you stand in need of, come and stretch your arms out wide, because I want you to know, I want a touch from Jesus. I need Jesus to touch me right now. I need Jesus to heal me right now. I need Jesus to keep me at ease right now. Do I got anybody who needs something from Jesus in this house? Well, you go on and just thank Him and reach out and just say, Lord, I need it. I know you know that I need it, and I know you're going to bless me. I know you're going to bless me. Because you know what I need. Peter didn't ask. Mother-in-law didn't ask. But Jesus did it anyway. So I want you to understand something. You know, the Lord knows our needs. Can I look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, we're about to get a little deep. Check this out. Has anybody in here, did you tell Jesus when he came to come and die for your sins? None of us in here ask Jesus to die for our sins. Amen. Jesus came and did that for us. Because he knew that we had a need. Oh, somebody working with me. It's because of that need that Jesus stepped down through 42 generations, took this flesh on him, walked here on this earth, taught on this earth, then went to the cross, stretched his arms wide, and our sin was nailed to the cross with him. And Reverend Dabney, when they killed him on Friday, they thought they had him. They thought he was down for the count. They didn't know that he had some yeast in him. He was about to rise back up. I want you to know, it wasn't no rapid rise yeast. I want you to know, it's called the 3-day yeast. Don't you know, on Friday, they put him in the tomb. But the yeast was working. Friday night. It worked all day and night on Saturday. But early on Sunday morning, the yeast was ready to... And the yeast rose up early on Sunday morning. Jesus got up early on Sunday morning. Why? Because we stood in... You see how when Jesus came to Peter's house, because Peter took him home and welcomed him into his house. Don't you know the same thing happens in God's house? Don't you know that we all are in here who know the Lord? The Lord is here with us. Because Jesus said, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, that there I am in the... So the Lord is in our midst. And at the same time, there are folk in here who don't know him as Lord and Savior. There are folk in here that don't have a church home. And those are folk who stand in a need. And don't you know that the Lord is supplying their need right now? And before this service is over, them folk gonna come saying, what must I do to be saved? Them folk gonna come saying, I'm in need of a church home. And the Lord is going to supply their need. You see, I want you to understand, they might not ask for it, but the Lord already knew what we need, when we need it, how we need it, before we even open up our mouths. Do I got a witness in God's house? Anybody know that God knows us better than we know ourselves? So he supplies our need. You see, look at this. So, Deacon Booth, I want you to see something with me. When the Lord reached his hand out and he touched her. Don't you know, whenever the Lord touches us, the stuff that's in us that's trying to keep us down, the stuff that's in us that's trying to bind us, the stuff that's in us that's trying to keep us stuck right where we are. Don't you know when Jesus touches us, don't you know all that stuff, it just got to go. Look at what the scripture says. Y'all don't believe me. Y'all don't believe me. Look at what the scripture says. He touched her, what? Hand. And the fever. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Jesus will bind it up and send it on his way. Isn't that what he did? You see that? Her fever might not have been in her hand, but all the Lord's got to do is touch you anywhere. And wherever the Lord touches you, it's like he's touched your entire body. And when he touches you, whatever is in you, he's going to bind it up and he's going to send it packing. So what I want you to understand as the people of God, when you know what the Lord can do, that's why we come to church, because we know we come and we have need. And the Lord will meet us right where we are. But then it gets a little bit better, Jennifer. It gets a little bit more interesting, Jennifer. Because it tells us in verse number 15, he touched her hand and the fever what? Now we saw what happened, right? We saw right there, Miss Chavis, that which was holding her back has now been what? Removed. You see, and now that it has been removed, I want you to understand, you got to check out what happens next. Are you going to go with me and see what happens next? Because let me tell you what happens next. And it says, and she got up and began to what? I serve because I'm thankful. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, don't get mad. Stay with us. I want you to understand something. We already have enough lip service Christians in church. We already have enough folk who gonna tell God, thank you, Lord, thank you, thank you. But I want you to understand that it's a good thing. It's good manners to say thank you. But I want you to understand what makes your thank you or more, even more authentic, is your ability on what you do after you say thank you. You see, but I want you to know, when I look at sister girl right here, she said, you know what? I can tell the Lord thank you, because if I had 1,000 tongues, I couldn't thank him enough. But I'm going to show God. I'm going to show him my expression of gratitude. Since the Lord has healed me, I'm going to not just get up. I'm going to get up and I'm going to serve him, because I understand that I would not be where I am if it had not been for the Lord. So I'm going to serve him, and I'm going to show him because I serve him because I'm thankful. So you see what she did? Girlfriend got up and she began to serve him. You see the example Peter's mother-in-law is giving to the church. Brother Red, do we recognize how important it is and what we can learn from these two simple verses? I know that this is a Sunday before Thanksgiving, and this is a Thanksgiving message. You see, because if we say that the Lord is the the head of our lives, and he is the one who brought me from a nothing to a something, that I serve him, and because I serve him because I'm thankful. You see, I want you to understand something. Don't you know that if we say he is who he is in our lives, there ought to be some evidence through our service and what we do for the Lord? You see, we got enough folk who give God lip service, and I understand you might can't move like you used to, you might can't do like you used to, but still I'm here to tell you, if you're able to breathe, if you're able to blink your eyes, if you're able to hear what I'm saying, if you're able to open your mouth, don't you know if you can't do nothing else, you might can't get around like you used to, you can do a whole lot of praying, you can make some phone calls, you can give some encouragement. But what I'm here to tell you, if you are a child of God, I want you to know that if you want to tell God thank you, you tell God thank you through your service. And I want you to understand, well, some folks say, well, shucks, it don't take all that. It don't take all that for me to praise God. It don't take all that for me to be a Christian. You know what? You can get by on a thank you, but you ain't getting real far. You see, but I want you to know, when you know how good the Lord has brought, I mean, how good the Lord has been to you. When you think about all the Lord has brought you through, brought you from. Remember how you was toe up from the flow up? Remember how messed up you was? Remember all the stuff you used to do? There was some stuff that should have took you out. There was some stuff that should have messed you up for life. But it was nobody but God's grace and mercy who was there with you through thick and through thin, who made a way out of no way, who was there with you, who brought you through it. And now that the Lord brought you through all that, there's no way we can come to church and act like God ain't done nothing for us. The Lord has done great things for us. The Lord is blessing us. The Lord is healing us. The Lord is making a way for us. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Anybody understand that? If I'm going to love him, I'm going to serve him. If I'm going to thank him, I'm going to serve him. Because I know I wouldn't be where I am right now if it had not been for God's grace and mercy. If the Lord didn't come and see about me, where would I be right now? You see, I serve because I'm. You see, church, if you really gonna be about our Father's business, you gotta serve. And your service, the fuel behind your service is this. You see, I'm saved to serve. Because I know I'm not what I used to be. The Lord has brought me a mighty long way. You see, I'm saved to serve. I'm saved to make a difference. Because the Lord made a difference in my life. So there's no way I'm ever going to come to church and say, when somebody going to start praising the Lord? When somebody going to say thank you? You see, when you come into church, you know, you might be the first one here and say, I ain't got to wait for somebody to tell me it's time, because you don't know what the Lord has done for me. You see, I'm going to serve him because I'm thankful. And since I'm thankful, I ain't going to sit down and shut up. Y'all heard that story about that old man and the mule?
Yeah.
Remember how he went to, they called that dead church?
Yeah.
And he was in that church making all that noise. And you know, them folk ain't want all that noise in their church. And the deacons and a couple of leaders got together and went to his house. And they saw him out there plowing with that old mule in front of him. And when he got there, he said, I already know why you're here. You tell me I make too much noise in your church. But what you don't realize, I serve God because I'm thankful. I've never been down to the courthouse. I've never been to the grave house. I want you to know that all my children is all right. And he said he was 86 years old, still behind that mule plowing. And when he thought about that, he said to them, hold my mule, because I'm going to praise God right where I am. When you know what God has done for you, when you know what God has brought you through, you don't wait for somebody to tell you it's time to praise him, because you know it was nobody but the Lord who brought you this far, who turned you around, who healed and delivered you. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Anybody know I serve because I'm thankful? Do I got any thankful folk in God's house? Anybody know how good he is? Somebody ought to praise him right now, because he is worthy of our praise. I serve because I'm thankful. And you know why I'm thankful? You can have a seat for a second if you don't mind. You know why I'm thankful? You see? You know why I'm thankful? Because I know there was a time in my life I wouldn't give the Lord the time of day. Now, I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about me. There was a time in my life I wouldn't give the Lord the time of day. Football season, Brother Red, I couldn't go to church. Football started at 1 o'clock. Y'all stayed longer than that. Couldn't go during basketball season because, you know, the NBA game started at 1. I got it. And 2 o'clock, I get myself together. And then in the summertime, I'm about playing softball. So I ain't got time to go to church. You see, the Lord looked past all my faults. And then on top of that, I was mad at God because my mother died when I was 14. And you know who I blame for it? You go on and say it, I blame God. So I ain't really want no parts of the church. And I ain't want to be bothered with church. And then on top of that, I ain't like preachers. Them chicken eating, women chasing, Cadillac driving, money stealing.
Look, and look at you now.
I don't drive a Cadillac. I do love chicken. I got a wife. I ain't touching no money. But you know what? God's got a great sense of humor. God showed me grace and mercy. He pulled me up out of the stuff that I was in. He didn't just bring me in the house. He said, all those folk that you talked about, them preachers, guess what? Here you go. Now look at me. And this is what I do every Sunday at 8 and 11, except on 4th, and I do it once. But you know what it just shows me? I'm thankful. Because he could have left me where I was. I'm thankful because he turned my life around. I'm thankful because he saved my soul. I'm thankful because he saw something in me that I couldn't see in myself. I'm thankful because I know I wouldn't be where I am if it had not been for Jesus. I'm thankful because for those who were here back in August of 2013, the doctors weren't sure what was going to happen to me next. But it was God's grace and mercy for the reason why I am still here. You see, I got my own story. I serve because I am. Isn't that why you serve? You got your own story. But aren't you thankful? Isn't that why you serve? You see, so don't ever let anybody tell you it don't take all that. You let them know it takes all that and then some. Because when I think about where my life used to be, when I think about what I used to do, but the Lord continued to put a shield, a protection around me, as stupid as I was acting. He looked past all that and said, boy, I got something for you to do. And when I look back over from where I've come from, I can't help but praise him. When I look at what he delivered me from, I can't help but shout hallelujah. When I look at what he's done for me, that's why I'm preaching right now. That's why I teach right now. That's why I do what I do for the Lord, because I serve because I am. What about you, my brother? What about you, my sister? Are you serving the Lord? You see, I want you to understand, here at Broad Rock Baptist Church, the Lord's saying to us, it's a new day. He has taken us and transitioning us, and he's taken us to another level. He's already taken us to a few more levels, but we going up even higher. And I want you to know, no matter how high God takes us up, I want you to know, Sister Angie, you ain't going to ever get a nosebleed. Because our God is about elevating us. And as he elevates us, it causes us to elevate him that much more. Because when we look at what God has in store for us, as we are now creeping on 2018, I want you to know God is going to be doing a new thing in 2018. Because we understand that right now we are difference makers. But in 2018, we're going to take it even a step further. And as we take it a step further in here, I tell you, it ain't going to be long till we look over here and start seeing stuff getting dug up. start seeing stuff starting to get built over here. Yeah, but I want you to understand, but in order for that to happen, all of God's people, we got to be in agreement to say, I serve because I'm. And since we know we're thankful, we ain't going to let nobody stop us from serving. We're going to get involved because we know who is the one that got involved in our lives. He got involved in our lives because he didn't want us to stay where we were. He wanted us to be better than what we were. Isn't that what he wanted for us? Aren't we better now that we have Jesus? Hadn't he changed our lives? Hasn't he changed our minds? He has renewed a right spirit inside of us. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? I serve because I'm thankful. And since we are thankful, I will not let anybody tell me to sit down and shut up, because you just don't know how good my God has been to me. And if he's been good to me, I know he's been good to you. I'm thankful. I serve because I'm thankful. Mother Austin, can you imagine? When we all get on the same page and serve because we are thankful, what God is going to do in this place. You see, because this place right here going to end up probably being our part of our fellowship hall. You see, this is where we're going to put the tables and stuff at, because we're going to have the sanctuary over there. You see, because I want you to understand that our God is about to do an amazing thing with this ministry. But I want you to understand something, y'all. Don't get nervous, because we've come this far. Leaning on, and guess what? No matter how far we go, we're gonna walk by and not by, because we know that we've come this far because we've trusted in God, and the Lord is the only one who's gonna take us all the way. So that's why we don't wait to see it to thank him, we don't wait to see it to praise him, we don't wait to see it to serve him. We serve him because I'm thankful, and since I'm thankful, I'm gonna show God my appreciation and my gratitude in how I serve him. I'm gonna be the best deacon, I'm gonna be the best trustee, I'm gonna be the best Christian I possibly can be. In serving you and letting folk know in this dying world there is a better way. On my iPad this morning, once I had the internet connection, it started binging. Two more found dead in Henrico County. We might not can't stop every death, but if we serve the Lord because we're thankful, we can help some folk put guns down. Amen. And lift up Bibles. Amen. We can let some folk know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Every retaliation doesn't mean I got to pull a gun out and go pop, pop. Amen. We have the answer. And his name?
Jesus.
And if that works for us, you see, let me tell you, let me put it to you like this. When you go and eat at a good restaurant and the food is good, Jackie, you don't keep it to yourself. Even though you're going to just get the chicken and the salad, you share it with, because if it's good for, then I know it'll be good for. You see, because that's what, you know, that's what sharing is all about. Because when we have something that's good, we don't want to keep it to ourselves. We want to share it with somebody else. Well, why ain't we sharing Jesus? Oh, yeah. We should share him because he's good. But you can't share what you don't know. But if you know him, you should share it. And if you are a child of God, you should be sharing. I serve because I'm thankful. That right there is the opening to that conversation, to the dialogue folk I have with you. Why are you always talking about Jesus? Every time I turn around, you're going to church and doing this for church and you're praying for this one and praying for that one. Is it really necessary for you to do all that? Yes, I serve because I'm thankful. What do you mean? Bingo, now you run with it. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's the thing that starts the dialogue. It's the thing that starts the conversation. And then after you do all that, you reach in your pocket and you pull out one of our Broad Rock Baptist Church business cards that you got, which shows times of service. web page information, and you now are serving. It is our responsibility to help. Because when we go before the Lord and he asks you, what did you do for me? What you gonna say? Lord, I would have served, but I ain't like the preacher. Lord, I would have served, but I ain't like the chairperson of that ministry. Lord, I would have served, but they just got on my last nerve. Jesus said, really? Well, when I died for you, I knew what they were going to do to me, but I still did it. So what is really your excuse? See how I got quiet? Because there's no answer. We do the right thing. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. If you start believing it from that perspective, it'll move a lot of stuff out of your way. And you'll do what's right because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do because I serve because
I'm thankful.
I want to hear from everybody. Because
I'm thankful.
Because
I'm thankful.
I got good ears. That ain't everybody. Because
I'm thankful.
There's some folk in the back. I ain't gonna say on which side, but because
I'm thankful.
So when we think about all the